Hanukkah starts on Sunday, and Christmas isn't far behind. And yes, I know these two holidays are about a lot more than presents, but if you do still have some shopping to do, Petra Mayer of NPR Books has a few ideas. Petra, it's great to speak with you again.
I'm so glad to be back.
And of course, yes, it is 2019 and people are still giving books. I just want to check in on that every year because it's true. People are still giving books.
Yes.
And the
yes.
number one book on your list, fiction, we'll start there, is Tamsin Muir's Gideon the Ninth. Why do you like this book so much?
Oh, yeah. So every year there's a book that I make all my friends read. This is the one. This is a debut fantasy. And basically the shorthand description that everybody's using is lesbian necromancers in space.
Whoa.
It is this gloriously gothic, crumbling galactic empire where the emperor summons the representatives of the nine houses to come and compete to be his new assistants. They're called lictors in the book, but that's terminology. Anyhow, so we focus on this orphan girl who is a foundling that's been taken in by one of these galactic houses and raised as kind of an outcast, and she ends up accompanying the daughter of the house to this big competition. But she's a sword fighter, and she's just this foul-mouthed, funny, unlike any other female character I've ever read. The writing just drips with style. The relationships are amazing. The world building is so good. And I realized while I was reading the final fight scene, which is just amazingly executed so that you can understand everything that's going on, that all of the characters that I cared about, the protagonists, the big bad, they were all women. But it was so not a big deal that I didn't notice until I was reading the final scene. And then I went, whoa, that's really cool.
All right. Sounds good. Well, you've got another book, and this next one sounds pretty intense. It's called Women Talking, and it's by Marion Taves. Also a novel, but based on a real-life incident of sexual assault in the Mennonite community in Bolivia. The New York Times is calling it a Mennonite Me Too novel.
Yeah. So this is based on a real story, but the real story is so ghastly that you would not be blamed for thinking that it was a novel. The short version is that there was this isolated Mennonite community in Bolivia where the women discovered that over a period of years, the men had been drugging them at night with an anesthetic spray and then raping them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's a truly ghastly story. So Miriam Taves herself grew up in a conservative Mennonite community, although not one as isolated as the one in the book. And she kind of wanted to give voice and agency to these women and sort of humanize them, because it's very easy to think of women in that situation as sort of freakishly other, as cultists, right? So she imagines a similar situation, and she puts us in a barn with these women as they discuss what they're going to do, because they've been given 48 hours to decide whether they're going to forgive their attackers or leave the community. And they have these wrenching, brilliant, deep discussions about faith and about forgiveness and about reinterpreting the Bible. And what I really like, just beyond how incredibly intelligent and beautifully written this book is it uses a male narrator actually to kind of flip the script on patriarchy almost, because the center of the book is these women who are talking and discussing and figuring things out for themselves, and the guy's just writing it down. So yeah, it's a wonderful read.
You've got another book for young adult readers. It's Gods of Jade and Shadow. This one's by Sylvia Moreno Garcia. Looks like it is a fairy tale inspired by Mexican folklore. And Petra, if we know something about you, it's that you love fairy tales.
I sure do. I talk about those all day, but that is a whole nother conversation. So fair disclosure, Sylvia Moreno Garcia is an NPR reviewer, but that hasn't stopped us from putting people's books in the concierge in the past, and this one is amazing. It does start out very fairy tale. It starts out with this young woman, and she's kind of a drudge in her rich grandfather's house, but then she finds the dismembered body of the god of death in a locked chest in her grandfather's room, and she opens it and she frees him, and they become sort of spiritually linked, and they go on this big quest. And the thing that I mean, I'm a world building junkie. That's another thing I love. And this world, she creates this fantasy jazz age Mexico that's built on a magic system that's completely fresh and new if you're used to sort of Western influenced fantasy. And I also love the relationship between the two main characters, because if this was a traditional fairy tale, you could kind of guess where it was going to go. And it sure does not go there.
You know, Petra, I'm looking at the first three books on this list. Strong, resilient women.
Yeah. You know, I just noticed that myself, too. Well, we have a whole section in the book concierge called Ladies First, and I actually think all of these books are in there.
Hmm. All right, well, let's do some nonfiction now. The first book on your list is by the journalist Adam Higginbotham, and he wrote Midnight in Chernobyl. I watched HBO's miniseries on Chernobyl this year and was hungry for more, so I'm glad this one's on the list.
Yeah, this is the perfect book for you. And in fact, I was going to mention the HBO miniseries because as good as it was, they just by necessity had to compress a lot of the story and they had to sort of use some composite characters. So if you want the real deal, this is the book for you. There are a couple of things that I really like about it. The first is that it reads almost like a novel, the way that, you know, he establishes the personalities of all the players. You know, you really feel as if you know them. But the other thing is just this, you get a sense for how unimaginably vast the story is, just right. how much you have to understand just to get to the minute of the explosion. And he's really good at leading you through all these things in a way that is clear, but it's not condescending. Like, I learned about nuclear physics and Soviet central economic
planning. Because it's a story about politics, it's a story about people, and of course it's also a story about science.
Absolutely. And if you want to learn about all those things, this is a great book for you.
All right. Well, add that to the list. And then this one, too. One Day. This is by Gene Weingarten. And as the title says, it focuses on a single day in history, Sunday, December 28th, 1986. Now, I was trying to figure out what was so important about that day. The only thing I could come up with is that Walk Like an Egyptian was the top song.
No way. I love that song. I was probably listening to it on my clock radio on that day. No, well, that's the point, right? So Gene Weingarten had this idea that a skilled journalist could pick any old random day and find a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he used to be the features editor at the Washington Post, and one of the things he did was make his writers hammer a nail into the phone book and write a profile of whoever the nail stopped at.
Oh, what a character, yeah.
Yeah, so he got people to literally pull a random date out of a hat, and it was this one. And he spent 6 years just digging into all the stuff that happened that day, and as it turned out, there were so many stories.
Oh, I love it.
And some of them are tragic, and some of them are creepy, and some of them are heartwarming. You know, there was a murder, there was a heart transplant, there was a helicopter crash, there was a couple that fell in love in first sight. I loved this book. I ripped through it in an evening. I couldn't put it down because he just takes these stories that, like, wouldn't make it out of the metro section of your local paper.
Hmm.
And he lifts them up and he makes them beautiful and universal.
You know, my journalism professor did this thing once where he put my baseball hat on the table and he said to the class, I want 100 story ideas about that baseball hat. Go. And that was the entire day we spent just trying to come up with stories. So I relate to this book. I also want to read it. So thanks for that recommendation.
Dude, at least you had a hat. Yeah. My journalism professor was just like, come up with 100 ideas.
Yeah, there was something for us to base it on. All right, I want to put in a plug for a book that I read this year. And this is not even from 2019. In fact, it's from 1947.
Mm.
I was in Berlin in the fall and I brought along Hans Fallada's Everyman Dies Alone. It's about the German resistance against the Nazis. It was a beautiful, tragic book. And Petra, I don't know about you, but I love to read a book based on the place where I am in that moment. So I just wanted to point that out because that one was on my list for a gift to give this year.
That sounds amazing. I mean, I would like to check it out. I haven't been to Berlin in a long time, but still, sounds like a great read.
Sure. And, you know, if people are listening to this and they still haven't found a book that resonates with them, where should they go?
Oh, well, they should go to npr.org/bestbooks, where the 2019 edition of the Book Concierge lives. And I should say, this year we have more than 350 books in the concierge, but our visuals team, bless them, also rebuilt the whole thing from the ground up to link up every single year going back to 2013. So that is more than 2,000 books.
Oh,
so
cool.
I hope you can find something in there.
Got to find something there for sure. And Petra, we have to take note of today, December 20th. A beloved member of NPR Arts, longtime books correspondent, and of course host, Lynn Neary is retiring today. She's a legend there at NPR. We will all miss her. What parting words do you have for Lynn Neary?
I don't want to part with Lynn. Those
no
are
one
my
does.
Words.
No one does.
I don't know. I mean, she's a consummate professional. She's been everywhere and she's done everything and she can do everything. And also one year she let us use a picture of her as the topper on the arts desk Christmas tree. We called it the Lynn Neary tree. It was the best.
All right. Well, congratulations to Lynn Neary and thank you to Petra Mayer of NPR Books for giving us her picks for the best books of the year. We'll have a link to the NPR Books Concierge at hereandnow.org. Petra, thanks and happy reading.
Thank you. Happy reading to you too.